Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And it is a little bit of a stormy Thursday night here in central Kentucky, where I'm broadcasting right now. This is Stephen Zimmer, and you are listening to episode number 354. Quick thank you to the guys in Far Cry, especially Pete Fry, lead guitarist, songwriter for the band that provided great intro music for us, allowed us to use their song, of course. I always like to highlight that. And tonight, yeah, we have a special show for you, again, on a Thursday. No, we are not permanently moving to Thursdays. Sometimes we have to do a schedule change for various reasons. This week, unfortunately, Holly is working to get over an illness. And so this week, she's not feeling the best. And she's working to get over that right now, not quite up to be broadcasting, doing a podcast tonight. So she's in bed resting. And, all thoughts and prayers are welcome because, yeah, she's had a rough go of it for the past couple of weeks. So anyway, I'm with you tonight. And, when Holly hears this, she'll at least be entertained because I do love her dearly, and we all do. So and definitely, hopefully next week she'll be bouncing back a little bit more. But tonight, yeah, unfortunately she's out. But we do have a great show for you planned. There will be several guests tonight because it's a show about a special project, and that's kind of the teaser that I will leave for all of you tonight. It's a special project, and so we will be having several people from it, which if you've seen our graphic for tonight and announcements, you have an idea on who's coming, and chat room is open. Go ahead and refresh your page if you're having any trouble logging in. Sometimes happens, but the chat room is definitely working. Because right now, wreaking havoc in the chat room, we have Diana Vizorek and Metalbeck Harrison. And yes, we got the dynamic duo in the chat room. So it's, so at least you'll be highly amused if you're in the chat room at the very least. And it's great to always see them there. And I know we'll have a few more people coming in here in the next minute or two. So, yes, tonight you're stuck with me as the host. But, again, don't worry. We have several other people joining me, so it'll be fun. We'll entertain you and do our best. And, you know, if we need some insights on mushrooms or something like that, we could have Diana call in real quick, or who knows, you know, you never know what to expect on a Star Chamber Show podcast. And Diana, of course, is the founder of Cottage Core Creations, and she's suggesting a new fusion of that, Metal Cottage Core. I like that. Yeah, she's got a new hashtag, Metal Cottage Core, which I see in the chat room. And so tonight, who knows what they are. What they are getting underway there. Beck and Diana have some kind of master plan here. But we are having some fun tonight for sure. And the guests are going to be great. But we'll go ahead and cover just a little bit of news and recognize the awesome folks that brought you tonight's show. So now, first of all, we did have a little bit of news today on the Imaginary in Front. If you missed last week's show, go back, find out in the archive. It will be going up across post to YouTube tomorrow. that episode, but it is a snapshot of everything about Imaginarium up until right now. So it is a pretty awesome overview. I think it worked out really well. And we do have, but we do have some new additions today. Actually, this just got released just a short time before the podcast. In fact, we have two more panelists that have joined the Imaginarium guest list, and they're both outstanding. One is S.A. Bradley, author and podcaster, and he is a four-time Rondo Award-winning. He's the host of the four-time Rondo Award-winning podcast, Hellbent for Horror. Oh, I'm sorry, four-time Rondo Award-nominated podcast, Hellbent for Horror. Sorry, I'm going to correct that, make sure we're accurate. Explores all things horror across books, film, comics, and music. They've got a great podcast and definitely a great writer who also contributes articles regularly to publications such as Horror Hound and Evil Speak, Medium Chill, and a lot of multiple online outlets, and also has a regular guest lecturer at colleges and as well, such as University of Pacific, College of Idaho, and appears at numerous conventions as a guest. And so, yes, we are going to be having S.A. Bradley joining us at Imaginarium, which is just fantastic. And also announced today is author and editor Howard Andrew Jones, and he has a new Bane series. You know, of course, the awesome, legendary Bane books. Of course, a lot of listeners love that publisher. And so, yes, we have Howard Andrew Jones with a Bane books series. The first two books will be published in August and October of this year. So, and he has Ring Sword Trilogy. Was critically acclaimed by Publishers Weekly. And so, yeah, he definitely comes with a lot of accolades, and also was the driving force behind the rebirth of interest in Howard Lamb's historical fiction. He assembled and edited 8 collections of Lamb's work for the University of Nebraska Press and served as managing editor of Blackgate Magazine from 2004 to 2018. And currently is managing editor of the Sword and Sorcery magazine, Tales from the Magician's Skull, published by Goodman Games. And so, yeah, just two more examples of the amazing guests that we have coming to Imaginarium, Imaginarium 2023, our 10th anniversary this summer. Of course, it's July 14 to 16, still a few months away. Still got plenty of time to plan and get ready for it, but it will be here before you know it. But we're working all the time, 7 days a week, to bring more content, more great guests, and just make it absolutely as spectacular as we possibly can for all of you. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a great, great event. And, yeah, two more outstanding panelists added today. And so I hope you're all very, very excited. So, yes, coming back to the chat room and, yeah, look, keeping an eye on seeing what mayhem Beck and Diana are working up in there. But now we'll go ahead and acknowledge two great individuals who brought you tonight's show. And one of them, of course, is Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender. And she's got a brand new spot for you tonight. So why not? Let's kick off our recognitions with a brand new spot. Here we go.
Author Sandy Lender invites you to visit her website at authorsandylender.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylender.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Yeah, she's just been a steadfast supporter of our show. In addition to all what she said in that new spot, you will also find great writing in anything that has Sandy Lender's name on it. And I can definitely vouch for that for certain. And, yeah, definitely an outstanding writer. So go pick something up by her and let her know. Let her know that you appreciate her support of the Star Chamber show. And also, we're going to bring you that lovable favorite of ours, Ren Garcia, tonight with the magic question. And so, of course, we always have to answer that at the end of this spot. So, yeah, hang in there and find out more about Ren, and definitely also pick up his work. Let him know you appreciate him supporting the show. Here you go, Ren.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, absolutely, Ren. We all are weird enough for you. You're fantastic, and we appreciate you. So, getting ready to bring on our first two guests of the evening here in just a second. Just going to check the chat room real quick, see if there's anything coming in from there, any news or updates from participants. It doesn't look like there's anything I need to announce at the moment there, which is good. I do have one personal announcement. Yeah, I guess I'll make a couple days ago. I did finish the final polish on Beyond the Gates, new Raiden Valkyrie novel, first of a new duology that has been handed off to the editor and is now in the pipeline as far as editing goes. So, yeah, I finished the new one, and I will be diving right into actually the very next day I started diving in with research and notes on a new project, which I will elaborate more on soon. But I figure I'd pass that little bit of personal news along before we bring on two amazing guests, a true dynamic duo, I should say. And yeah, two of my favorite people in the book industry. And yes, they both commandeer the award-winning publisher Jump Master Press, of course, behind Jump Card ID and the Jump Card. Yeah, they're innovators, and they are just amazing individuals. I'll go ahead and give a double introduction because they're both ready to come aboard here. But one is an award-winning author and editor, and that would be Kyle Hanna, and the other is award-winning author Gene Rowley. And yes, we have not just one of them, but we have both of them for you. And I welcome both onto the Star Chamber show right now. You both should be live.
Well, hello, everyone.
Oh, there's Kyle. I hear Kyle.
We're
How's
here.
It going, man? There he is.
I just want him to talk
there's
first.
There's the voice.
Yeah, I'm going to let the voice do most of the talking.
Yeah. Well, good to hear you
we'll
guys.
Let Stephen do all the talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, put me on the spot the night that I have to host solo. I'm counting on you to talk just a little bit. But first of all,
I mean,
yeah.
There's a reason we call him the voice, and there's a reason my tagline says, I have a face for radio and a voice for silent movies.
No. Well, that's true. I like talking to you both. I definitely enjoy every opportunity I get to interact with you guys. And tonight's a special night, and it's going to be a lot of fun to unveil this to our audience. But first, I do want to give you a chance to catch everybody up who's listening, because I mean, you guys are always at it. You're always doing, conventions and events, and you guys are always got a great, catalog and new releases happening all the time. So I've just got to throw it over to you to give us a Jump Master Press up-to-date overview and tell us what you've been getting into and what's new and what's happening with the press.
It might be better to tell you what we're not getting into right
now.
We've got new releases, historical fiction, sci-fi, fantasy. We will be hitting the road in about 2 weeks to start our con season. And, of course, that will take us through Louisville in a few months to see you guys. So,
awesome.
Looking forward to that one for sure.
Yeah. Middle of last year, we launched our boxed set series, all of our trilogies some of our two book series. We figured out a way to do boxed sets, which is usually cost prohibitive for most authors, most small, medium-sized presses. And we figured out a way to do it, and they've been going great gangbusters. We sell more boxed sets than we do individual titles now. So all of the authors listening, go ahead and write your trilogies. We got you covered.
They're gorgeous, too. Yeah, your box sets are absolutely beautiful. I can vouch for that. And, again, another innovation by you guys. You guys never stop being creative.
We were actually talking about that today. Every year we come up with a new thing. So last year it was box sets, and we've got a new thing for this year, but it's in the developmental stage, so more on that later.
I'm going to spill the beans, Kyle.
Okay, you go ahead, James.
I'm going to spill the beans. I'm chomping at the bit. As Kyle said, every year we come up with something new. We have a new product. We have a new innovative way of doing things. And this year, with some of the market realities that are happening in our area, which is Birmingham, Alabama, we've decided, and we just had a great meeting with our venue, to do our own convention. It's a creatives convention, very Imaginarium style. We've stolen all your good ideas, you and Holly, obviously. So we're going to be doing that this year in October here in central Alabama, and we're calling it the Alabama Creatives Convention. So you'll be hearing more about that on social media ad nauseum. You're going to get sick of it because we got a long time to promote it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We're bringing in artists. We're bringing in voice actors. We're bringing in authors. We're going to bring in sculptors. It's basically anybody, any creative people out there, you're welcome. And it's very, very, we're making it very affordable because this is our first year. Next year, we'll jack the price up on everybody. But this year, it's going to be very, very affordable.
Very cool. Well, thank you for putting it in October. Give me at least a little bit of time to recover from Imaginarium and so I can make the trip down there because, we want to get down to your area.
You know how it is? Fall in the South, we had to pick the date just right and avoid all the football games. So.
Yep.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. That's a chore. I know that
we picked
being here in Lexington.
We picked the one weekend where everybody gets married. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, because being in Lexington, it's hard to
have your honeymoon with us.
Yeah, it is hard to, like, in Lexington. I can say, between the University of Kentucky basketball and football, it is murder to try to schedule something here in the fall because they have almost like a major sporting event every weekend, and major.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm not jealous on the scheduling because that's. I know what happens behind the scenes. So that's
we're never stopping.
But that is awesome.
We've got more titles coming out this year. We've got some new stories, new trilogies. We expanded last year with all of our authors, our overseas authors, our European authors, our South American authors. We're really expanding out. So I really like where our catalog is going. And last year we started to branch out more into bookstores. We're getting really, really good response from our bookstore placements. So, it's a building process, and like everybody else, we're all doing this to write and hopefully sell books.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, this is cool. And I'm glad you gave us a scoop tonight on the show. This is exciting because I know how you guys are.
You're the first person to know it.
It will be something I heavily endorse and advocate for sure, and gives me a chance to come to Alabama, which is a bonus. For sure. That's going to be cool.
Well, this is going to be the first year, so it's only going to be a one-day event in October. Next year, the sky's the limit. You know how we are.
It's a seven-day event. guys.
Yeah. What is that Dragon Con thing? I'm going to the Jumpmaster Press event.
Exactly.
Would not surprise me with you guys, but I know Holly will want to drag me down to the Gulf Coast as well on a major trip, so this will be good. We can hopefully do two at once. So
you deserve it.
That's fantastic. Fantastic, man. You just got such a great roster of authors. That goes without saying, and we are going to be talking about a few of the particular ones I know tonight. And yeah, let's get to that. There is a new joint project that we at Seven Star Press are working with you guys at Jumpmaster Press to create an awesome showcase kind of anthology, which we are just now revealing and very publicly. And that would be the Enchanted Realms anthology, Tales of Fantasy and Light and Shadow. And editors on this are Kyle Hanna and Holly Phillippe. And what a roster! Do you guys want to go through the list of participating authors and give us the scoop on what this anthology is from you guys?
Well,
yeah,
like
to hear from you.
Go ahead, Kyle.
For total, there's going to be around 10 to 13 authors.
Yeah.
And they're some of the best authors you've never read, but you're going to.
Well, I mean, I guarantee you someone listening to this show has read some of these authors.
Has read some of them, but not all of them.
This is not all of them. This is a chance for fans of Seven Star Press and Jumpmaster Press and fantasy readers to get a very affordable taste. It's on my hard drive, which I don't have plugged in. To get a very affordable taste of some new authors that they may not be familiar with. Steve, I'm trying to pull it up. I'm sorry. You probably have it in front of you. Go down the list and talk a little bit about each one.
Yeah, I can give it to you.
Go ahead.
I'll go in order as it's listed on the cover. And do you want me to just run through the list, or do you want me to do like one at a time? How would you want to do it? How would you
just
like
do
to
one
do
at
it
time.
On this?
Yeah.
Okay.
One at a time.
First author that we will talk about then is Richard Fierce.
Richard is a fantastic fantasy author, and he is more of that classic dragons, knights in shining armor fantasy writer. Very, very talented guy. Has written several trilogies, and he joins us at some of the conventions. We see him everywhere, and he's already said he's coming to Archon at the end of this year. So we love Richard.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the second author is one that's very well familiar to you two, and that would be our Kyle Hanna. So you can probably give him an insight over the story.
Yeah.
The story.
You know, he's a sci-fi guy, but he keeps dabbling in fantasy like he knows what he's doing.
Hey, give everybody a teaser about your story. Give them just the nugget.
Okay, it's called Rogues and Warlocks. And the gist of it is the rogue is, you know, basically a thief, and she is set up to steal the king's emerald. The warlock is in the king's employ and has put a spell on it to keep it from being stolen. And, well, the rogue is a little bit better than the warlock, and we'll put it that way.
Nice.
It's going to be a good story. I've been trying to get him to write fantasy for a long time. He wrote one when we got asked for a lot of fantasy, and it was very, very well received. And it's in our catalog, one of my favorites on our table, definitely.
Mine too.
And Kyle is a winner of the Imagine Award, and of course that is a juried award. That is a fully juried award process, and so Kyle picked up one of those. So I'm not too worried about your story.
Right here.
we've only got a limited amount of time. We can get through this list.
Sure.
Kyle, why don't you take Gene Hart is next.
Okay,
Jeannie is
another fantastic fantasy writer. She also writes young adult. We've got one of her books on our catalog, and she just blends a fan. She's already submitted her work, and actually Holly has it and has already started the editing process. So she was on the ball.
Yeah, and I hear it's awesome. I hear it's fantastic story. I've heard that already. So go,
I'll
go
take
for
the
you.
Next couple. William Heinzen, by the way, these are in order by last name alphabetical. William Heinzen is an author we met at one of the conventions who basically writes these gigantic Tolkien-esque
150,000 word tomes.
Man. Oh, they're massive. And he's a fantastic fantasy writer, lives in South Dakota. Is that right? North Dakota, South Dakota?
South Dakota.
South Dakota. Friend of ours, so much so that when he was flying back, we had just met him. We bought his books and put them in our catalog, and they immediately sold. Just to help him so he didn't have to take them back to South Dakota. The next one's on the list is Kenan T. Henry. He's a very well-known author here in the Southeast. And he has written the Chronicles of Stephen trilogy, which is going to be many, many books. Currently, he's working on book five. Book one through four are available in our catalog. He also wrote a mystery. It's called The Ghost of Blue Mountain. Fantastic writer. I'm looking forward to seeing his fantasy because his first one was an urban fantasy. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he comes up with.
Awesome. And then next would be Abigail Keem, who will be calling in tonight. And she is a major selling mystery author. That's where she's known most. But she does write fantasy. And she's known for character-driven stories, clever mystery plots and elements of thriller elements. And she's just a fantastic writer. And I guarantee you that this story is going to be awesome, the one that she has in it.
Kyle, JL is next.
Okay, JL Lawrence, I met her years ago at conventions and just over the years started a friendship. She writes, we have three of her books and four more coming this year. It's a supernatural good versus evil fantasy. She writes action. She writes romance. She writes the mysteries and story. You don't want to miss hers.
No. And then next we have the amazing Sandy Lender, and we affectionately call her the genre blender for a good reason. She is really good at blending genres, and she writes one of her core genres that she writes in is fantasy, and also writes science fiction and paranormal and all kinds of other flavors. But she is really, really good at writing dragon stories and fantasy. So yeah, I guarantee you this will be a good one. And she's also a multi award winner.
Yep. Next on the list is Philip Ligon, also very well known in the Southeast, one of the Jumpmaster Press authors, and he writes steampunk fantasy. So if you like steampunk with the balloons and the mechanisms and all the intrigue that goes into that, he's got a great series called the Strange Engine series and a boxed set currently with Jumpmaster Press. But we are currently working on to get out this year his Falcon Bone series, which is something totally new from Philip Ligon. So he'll be bringing the steampunk fantasy to Enchanted Realms.
Awesome. And from one of the authors that we have the honor of publishing is Carl R. Moore, and fantastic author of dark fantasy and horror. That's what he's kind of known for with his Slash of Crimson and Other Tales and Change in the Sky and releases like that. Really fantastic author. And you can't go wrong with Carl.
Well, it looks like I'm next up on the list. And I, like Kyle, basically started in the sci-fi genre because it's, in my opinion, the easiest thing to write. But I like to branch out. I've done a little bit of thriller, which has been well received. My bestseller is a fantasy. It's a Viking fantasy or Norse feeling fantasy. And for this project, I wanted to go in a different direction. I wanted to write a dragon fantasy, but not the quintessential, castle dragon. So I went with an oriental feel, very Chinese dragon. And the first part is called The Rise of Zhang Yi. And the word Zhang Yi means justice. So it's The Rise of Justice. To give you a little taste of what the Chinese dragon story that I'm writing is going to be about.
And I love that, Gene, because I love Asian dragons and Asian dragon mythology. So I'm personally looking forward to that one. But
I hope I
next
don't let
up
you
on,
down.
God, you won't. I know you guys what you're capable of. But yes, next on the list is another one that we have the honor of publishing a fair number of his works, and that would be Stephen L. Shrewsbury. Now, he can be described very accurately as almost like a reincarnation of Robert E. Howard. That's his thing, I mean, for sure. I mean, really gritty, dark-edged sword and sorcery, hard-hitting, heroic, and does it so well. I mean, if you're a fan of Howard, you're going to love Shrewsbury. And, yeah, his I guarantee you his story will be right up that kind of alley. And, oh, geez, it's me. Rounding out the list, as always tends to be when you have a last name of Z.
Yep.
That would be myself, and I will give you a little teaser, which I haven't talked publicly about yet, so this is a bit of a scoop. But, yeah, my core foundation is in fantasy. That is my roots. And so, yeah, this is definitely my wheelhouse, but I have my Fires in Eden series of epic fantasy, and I will be telling a short story from that world, the world of Ave. And this particular story will be taking place in a part of that world that you could say is inspired by the Aztec mythology. So, yeah, this will involve a hero.
Nice.
It's going to hit hard, and it's also going to pack an emotional punch. Yeah, because some of my inspirations are authors like C.S. Lewis and, of course, you know, I mean, Tolkien, things like that. So, yeah, I love to kind of work in a real, a little bit of an emotional kind of undercurrent with it. So, yeah, it'll have that too. But yeah, plenty of good hard hitting action. But that'll be my contribution, and I'm stoked about it because it'll be a very different sort of story.
Yeah, I think this anthology with this diverse group of authors, there's going to be something for everybody in this set.
Yep.
And, you know, the price is it's juicy for what you're going to get. We'll talk more about that later. But I'm telling you, there's something for everybody.
Yep.
Definitely.
Agreed.
Yeah, and kudos to Gene. I just want to give a major shout-out to Gene. He was the driving force behind the design. That's the cover, and I can't wait till people all see this cover. It's beautiful. It's a really nice concept, and it just strikes all the bells for me as a fantasy reader. And I'm just saying that, you know, I that's what I love, and it hits all those marks. And yeah, so you did a great cover job, Gene. It's beautiful.
Well, to be fair, I was clicking the buttons. You guys were like, move this here, try that, let's get this. It all worked out. I think it was a team effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we did. There are some input, true, but yeah, we appreciate the work you're doing on it, and yeah, it's gorgeous, and yeah, definitely has that portal to another world kind of vibe going on with it, which, you know, I'll give you that teaser, so it encourages you all to look it up, but yeah, it's going up very early for pre-order. You guys want to talk about the pre-order availability and when it might be when as far as coming out?
Any
the,
day.
The pre-order is going to start before the end of February, you know, sometime in the next 2 weeks. And it's going to go until the release date, which is tentatively set for July 31st. And, you know, in that time, there's you're going to see social media posts. You're going to see cover reveals and author interviews. Who knows what we may throw out there, but the price, 99 cents for the ebook box set. So
there it is.
You're going to get 300,000 or 400,000 words for 99 cents. Fantastic writers at a fantastic price. It's our gift to the readers, and I'll let you expound on this if you want to, Stephen. We're looking at maybe getting a little blurb from someone to, you know, get some professional take on it.
Yeah, let's hold that one close
to
the vest.
Yeah, we're going to hold that. And actually possibly a couple of blurbs. Yeah, there's a couple individuals that might be helping us in that area. So, but yeah, that'll be a good scoop when we can confirm that. But
yep.
Definitely.
See, all kinds of stuff going into this. And like I said, it's for the readers. It's our way of giving back, because the readers really help us write better. And this is our
yep.
gift to you guys.
Yes. And yeah, if you go through and look up all these authors, I mean, yeah, these are proven commodities. You know, I know that you're saying earlier that some haven't been as widely read yet, but they're all very established writers for sure, and several of them have done very well on the indie level, and some of them are not necessarily known for fantasy, like Abigail Keem. That's an intriguing one because she's a huge seller with her Josiah mystery series. I mean, like major seller in that mystery series. And yeah, to have her do fantasy is quite a cool thing to see. So it's going to be some nice kind of branching out even going on in this anthology. But yeah, you and Holly, I believe, as I understand it, you both are going to be working with all the stories. Is that the game plan as far as the end of it?
Yeah, Holly and I touched base a couple of days ago, and we're both going to make some suggestions and give it to the other person so that they look at it and, you know, agree with the suggestions or whatnot before we send it back to the authors, you know, for their final take on it. So, you know, hopefully this will be very well edited. And a whole bunch of different eyes looking at it before the readers get a hold of it. And then when they open that first book or flip to it on their Kindle, they're going to go, wow, this is good. And then just keep reading.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, because I knew that, you're going to have both of your eyes on these. And, yeah, mm-hmm. that can only bring good results. Absolutely.
And I tell you, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, anytime I can collaborate with an editor, I learn my craft better. So I'm truly uh-huh. looking forward to this over the next few months.
Yeah, I'm an editor as well. And yeah, I'm always working on editing projects. And yeah, and it is. I mean, you really are always, just like a writer, you're always learning your craft as an editor, and some working with other editors, you get different insights, and yeah, it works, you know, somewhat the same way, you know, as when you're learning from other writers. And yeah, that's going to be kind of neat to see yeah, you and Holly collaborate, because she definitely loves it. And I know from comments of hers, she's, like I said, she's been sick, but has been doing some short bursts in there on editing, and she is so high on Jeannie Hart's story. I mean, she just thought the writing on that was fantastic. So yeah, based on just that first reaction to the first story she's looking at, I'm stoked about this.
I'll tell you a little secret. Jeannie is one of our authors that we go to for like my stuff. We'll send it to her because mm-hmm. I can't edit my own. So she really does a great job for us. She's got one of our manuscripts right now working on it. So she, very good writer, fantastic editor. I can't wait to see what she's done.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying in the chat room, they were saying they definitely would love to read this. So yeah, we're already getting instant feedback. Yeah, their interest is getting peaked in there already.
That's
good news. Yeah, if you have any questions, folks, yeah, go ahead and type those in, and I will relay them to Gene and Kyle. If you have some, and we will be joined in about 5 minutes. By one of the authors. And so, yeah, we got a couple calling in tonight. Yes, it will be released tentatively. We've got our end of July release date, and we've got a nice big pre-order window. And that's because, yeah, we want to build up a tidal wave of interest in this. It's a very special collaborative project between two established presses and others, and you know, a great group of writers. And I mean, it's really an assemblage of talent, and that's come together for this one singular project. And so, yeah, it's really unique. And Yeah, we want to give it the time to percolate out there. And you guys want to comment on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, my thought is for that price, you know, order early, order often. That, you know, that's going to, you know, be the best thing you can do.
Yeah,
and you can get
from that perspective, you rarely get collaborations like this. Like I've mm-hmm. seen, you know, a couple of authors get together and things like that, but not award-winning authors across this kind of spectrum. I think, like Kyle said earlier, there's going to be something for everybody in this. And, you know, we love you guys. We love to work with Seven Star Press. We've had some great meetings with the other authors. We've got an all-author meeting coming up. Everybody's been on board. They're super excited about it. And we want to transfer that excitement to the reader and to those folks that want to get that. I mean, it's 99 cents. I mean, that's, you know, five times less than a cup of coffee. And you're going to get a lot of great stories that are going to lead you to the other authors' works. You know, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Like, mine is book one of five. You're going to read the first book, but hopefully you're going to want the second one and the third one. Same thing with Kyle and Steven. And, you know, you're going to look at Steven's stuff and say, wow, maybe I need to go check out his stuff. So I think that's a big thing. Something for everybody. And at that price, you just can't go wrong.
Yeah, it's a bunch of gateways to a lot of worlds is what it ultimately is. It's each of these authors involved has so much more, they have available. And yeah, I think that's how it's going to work ultimately. And, I have to emphasize this will be an ebook only format. So you definitely want to, don't wait for a print version. Make sure you get your pre-order in for the ebook version because that is the format we're emphasizing, and at the 99 cent price, it's the only way we can do that because it'd be kind of near impossible as a print release at that rate.
Exactly.
It's definitely going to be a great opportunity, and you guys, if you guys I want to ask some questions. I do of the author I'm about to bring in. Feel free. I just want to tell you in advance. Feel free to do so as well. But I'm going to go ahead and bring in one right now, and that is award-winning multi-genre author Sandy Lender. And looks like she is live. I got her mic on. Sandy, are you there?
I'm here. Good evening, everyone.
There you are. Hello, Sandy.
Yeah.
We've just
good
done
evening.
A big. Big overview of everything about this anthology and Enchanted Realms, Tales of Fantasy and Light and Shadow, and we just went through all the list of participating authors. We discussed a little bit about the editors involved and the release schedule. And you are in fact one of the authors we just mentioned. So yeah, go ahead and give us an introduction, and then we'll get you in this conversation here.
I was listening to you guys go through the list, and, you know, I've been involved in this since, you know, day one talking about it. So I know, you know, each of these authors that's involved. I know that these stories are coming. But listening to each of you say it again out loud on the air, talking about the authors and what they're bringing to the box set, it gets me a little bit excited again. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to hear that story now, and I want to hear that story now, and I want to read that story now. So I'm kind of getting excited about this thing being released. Like, the end of July can't get here fast enough for me to read the whole thing. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Okay, so, yeah, introduce what I'm doing. Oh my gosh. I'm going to do a dragon story for sure, Stephen. You got that right. Right now, the working title is Della and the Dragon Sword. Holly might change that. She might have some ideas for me, but that's what I'm going with for the moment. And, yeah, I had to get the story finished up before this weekend because I've got a novel writing contest this weekend, so I had to get this one done and set it on the shelf so that I can revisit it, you know, next week and get it polished up before I send it in to Kyle and Holly to edit and play with and help me with. But it's in its first draft format now. It's
And
ready for me to play.
Well, we mentioned that these stories are like gateways to the other works by all these authors. You know, these are a lot of these authors like yourself have many many things out there right now and currently available. How has this served that function? Is it set in one of your worlds? Can you give us, or do you want to talk about that now? You know, of course, you don't have to reveal anything too much if you don't want to, but do you want to tell us how it may connect to another world, or is this something, some new territory as far as worlds or franchises for you?
It does fit snugly into my fantasy world of Unveiled. Unveiled is the Old English word for power. So the Choices trilogy that Seventh Star Press is fixing up for me is set in that world. And so this story is in that world. Della is, you know, she's after a particular sword, which plays a role in that trilogy that Seventh Star Press is going to be releasing. So this is sort of a, I don't want to call it an origin story for that world, but it's a short story that is in the background of that world. So yeah, it's part of that world that I really like to escape to right now, because right now reality kind of bites, and it's kind of nice to get away from reality a bit. And so, you know, diving into this other world where these characters that I know reside, it's kind of nice to go visit them from time to time. And so right now I'm really enjoying visiting Della and this dragon and these wizards. It's kind of nice.
Nice.
Playing
nice.
There.
Mm-hmm. So Kyle, yeah. you get to work with Sandy on this. You're in for a treat. I have worked with her as an editor, and she is just a pleasure to work with as a writer, you know, from the editor's perspective. So you're going to have a pleasant experience with her. I guarantee it.
Well, that's one of the benefits of being the editor. I get to read it before anybody else. So I'm looking forward to seeing all, because I, you know, a lot of these authors I haven't read. So this is my opportunity to branch out just like all the other readers. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
That's a good
It'll
point. Yeah, there are.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, and I love the fact that I'll get to work with Holly and Kyle. So there'll be two different editors that I've not worked with before. So I have two new editors who will be able to, like, guide me and offer, here's some ideas, here's some thoughts, here's ways to do this, here's ways to do that, here's ways to make this feel more for the reader. I mean, that's like gold to an author, and I'm looking forward to doing that with these guys. That'll be great.
Hopefully, Stephen, you're recording the show, because after she's worked with Kyle and Holly, I kind of want to bring her back to this moment and say, remember what you said?
I am recording this. I am recording
what editors do.
Look, you know, if you're on good terms with your editor, someone isn't doing their job right, okay? When I was in the military, they called me the most hated person in my unit because I handled the money. Now I'm the most hated person in Jumpmaster Press because I edit the works. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And you're
well,
good.
Well, I have to tell you, there was a book I did last year. It's Eden and the Most Precious Stone, and it took second place in a contest. So there was an editor who came in and was helping me get it ready for publication. That was the deal. And that was an ordeal because, you know, you write this thing in 72 hours, it's going to suck. So it's going to need a lot of help. So he was helping me with it, and he would come back with, oh, here's some ideas. I'm like, awesome, I can do that. Then he'd come back again, here's some more ideas. I'm like, oh, dude, I just fixed this. All right, I'll fix it again. And so it was back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And after a while, it gets on your nerves. But it's a good exercise because there's someone new who's never seen your work before, like a reader who's never read your stuff before. It's someone new, someone fresh, new eyes who's coming at it saying, you know, if you did this with your magic system, it would express better. I'm like, well, doggone it, you're right. Okay. You know, it's just a great, in my opinion, it's a great experience to have someone new rip something apart and help you make it better. I enjoy it. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, but I enjoy it.
That's the right attitude to have as an author, though. If you think you're just going to hand it to somebody and say, "You're welcome, world. Where's my $1 million?" Yeah, that generally doesn't happen.
Except with Gene. Gene.
That's always the goal, is to hand your work off to your editor and have them come back and say, "Don't change your thing, it's perfect." And that's never going to happen. So it's good to be working with Holly and good to be working with Kyle and people who love what they do. And like Sandy said, you know, give you a new outlook and a new way, a new pair of eyes to say, you know, maybe this would be better here and maybe this doesn't really work. And then we look at it as the author and go, "Dang, you're right. And it was perfect when I wrote it." You know?
Yeah. Made sense in my head didn't translate to the paper, but now we can fix that. Yeah.
Gene just hit, I think, the core of what this this particular project is. Love what they do. I mean, I just looked at everybody on that list, everybody that's talking here on the show, everybody. Yeah, love what they do. This is a true gathering of people that are exactly that. And yeah, like Kyle said, it depends on the attitude of the writer. I mean, yeah, you're always going to be pointing stuff out as an editor, but you can have a writer that wants to hone their craft and actually grow and get better. Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. It's constructive, not contentious, or it felt that way, more constructive, less contentious.
Stephen,
that's where it is.
Let me expand on that, speaking personally here. We've had a lot of meetings with Sandy and Abigail, who's coming on in a little bit. I just really enjoy working with the group. Like, having such talented people bring their talents to the table, and everybody kind of says, "Oh, I'm good at this. I'll take care of that. I'm good at that." And not only the core group that we have, I feel very blessed working with Sandy, Abigail, you, Holly, Kyle, obviously, which I work with every day, but then the rest of the group who's bringing their talents to the table. I think this is going to be a home run for the reader. I really do. And I really like the meetings that we have, putting all these things in place, talking about it, expressing everybody's ideas, and working through those communications, those challenges, to really put out a great product. That's where I'm high on that right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Sandy, I know you're really excited about this project. You've got a lot of releases and so forth coming out. How did you pick which story to include in this, and why? I'm curious, just from your perspective, because you are a prolific writer, how did you select the story for this project?
Well, the character Della wouldn't leave me alone, and I had to write her story. I know that's the crazy author talking, but that was it. I had a few different story ideas in mind for this project, for this box set, but Della was the one. She's like, "Hey, look, this needs to be resolved." You see, a couple of years ago, I had a short story picked for the Tulip Tree genre anthology, and it was called Della Finds Her Gift. So this is like part two of what she was going through. That short story is its own standalone story. We finish her story there, but she just got into my brain, and she's like, "You know, there's more that I could be doing. There's something else I need to do." I'm like, "Chick, I told your story." And she told me no. That this character just got into my brain and said, no, there's something else I need to do, and here's what it is. Write this down. It's like she just kept hammering at me, so that this is the story I had to write for this box set, or I was going to lose my mind.
Nice. And Kyle, a comment. One thing that we haven't talked about yet is the size of the stories. And you know, you don't have to give like a blow by blow of the word count of each single story, but do you want to give people a feel for the general size of the stories that you're working with, as far as the just general word count and size?
Yeah, we went round and round about this for a few conversations. What we come up with is between 15 and 30,000 words per story. So when you're talking 10 to 13 authors, you're talking 300 to 400,000 words for 99 cents.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, like you illustrated, it's not as much of a anthology of short stories. It's actually a collection of novellas as
yeah.
a box set. It's novellas length. A lot of these stories are true novella length. So that's what you're getting in most
yeah.
all cases. It's
yeah,
a novella.
It's, yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not a 5,000 to 8,000 word short story.
Right.
These are well developed. You know, novella stories that are going to, you know, ramp up quickly, tell the story, and hopefully not leave you hanging.
Mm-hmm. I personally love that novella format. It's kind of a tweener. You know, it gives you just a little bit more breathing room for character development and even some subplot work that you can't necessarily do in a very limited space in a short story. And again, you know, and then you also still have to be kind of concise compared to like doing an epic fantasy novel. So how do you guys feel about that tweener kind of format? You like that aspect of the novella with the breathing room, or any thoughts on that?
No, I'm enjoying it because I'm still writing my story. I'm not, you know, as quick as Sandy or Jeannie or some of the others. So I'm still writing mine, and I am having a blast doing backstory, which is something you really can't do, you know, in a 10,000-word
mm-hmm.
short story. So, you know, and I'm doing a little foreshadowing because, you know, this may launch into, you know, a whole realm, you know, for me later on. But I'm having a blast doing, you know, the backstories and, you know, a little bit of intrigue here and there, just the things I can't do in a short story.
Right, right. And Sandy, because I know you write short stories, you write novellas, and you write novels. So what's your thought on that topic?
You know, I love them all. this is my passion. I love writing.
Yeah.
Writing in fiction, any speculative fiction, just makes me so happy. So, you know, to sit down and say, okay, this has to be a novella format. So you just have to put your brain in that, I guess, in that scope. You know, you just have to tell yourself, all right, I've got 30,000 words to get this story out. And then you write 40,000 and you have to go in and trim. But you at least know, okay, here's how much space I've got to get this story
mm-hmm.
in. Here's how much space Della has. And then Della does her running around and I have to rein her in. But I love it all. I love every bit of it, so I can't really,
yeah.
I don't know, I can't really narrow it down to like, yeah.
Yeah, when I started I don't know.
I
wrote short stories and novels primarily when I began, you know, getting things out and published. And then it was only in the last about 5-6 years that I have written numerous novella length type stories, and I came to really love the kind of balance, you know, that a novella has kind of in between the longer format novel and the short story. And so, you know, I personally, you know, come to love writing that size of tale. And I think it's a great size for exposing new writers that people may not have been familiar with before, or you know, giving them a real feel for their style of storytelling. I think it gives a lot of room for that. Just personally, that's my thought on that. I love it.
I'll be honest, I'm struggling. I am trying to fit a novel into a novella. And I don't do well at short form. I want to really tell the story. And I'm a dialogue writer. I don't write pages and pages and pages. Narrative. Everything is, you're the fly on the wall. You're hearing the conversation uh-huh. between characters. Rarely are people alone. Like there's, you know, there are things happening. And everybody, you know, I too, like most people, love it secretly when you overhear a conversation. Well, that's how I write. And I really am struggling getting that into that 30,000 or word less. And I'll do it, But it's a challenge, and I like the challenge. Kyle and I call it stretching our legs as writers, right? That's a, you know, getting out of the genre, writing something different. And this is a challenge for me, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm also not kind of enjoying it because it's difficult. It's difficult because I know what I want to say. I just have to say it with fewer words, unlike a novel where the sky's the limit. If I write too much, then I have two novels, you know, book two. But, yeah, I hate to be the only one on the call that struggles writing short. But I am, apparently.
Well, let me ask you this, Gene. You said earlier, and you said it publicly, so I can ask you about this. You said that this will lead to a group of other stories that are of a similar nature.
Yes.
To this first one. Do you think that after you get through writing this one that the others will come a little smoother? Do you think that'll change a little bit for you?
Yes and no. And this one sets this one is the opening, right? So this one has to be the winner, right? You've got to make that one the winner. So this one, I'm really focused on it. And you know, we have our writing deadlines like everybody does. But I'm a plotter. I am a classic plotter. And I have the outline for the next three books. And they're novella length, and I want to keep them in the same format as people go, as people progress through the stories. And by the way, I'm not writing cliffhangers. I'm not writing like you're not going to get to the end of this story and go, oh no, what happened? No, these are full fleshed out, you know, and all of the stories in this anthology are that way. Now they might lead to the next story and the next one, but it's not going to be here's part one. Now go buy parts two through five. This will be a full beginning to end. No kidding, character arc story. But yeah, I've already plotted out three books, three novellas, and I know I'm going to do at least five. I've toyed with doing 10, but at least this will be the whole project when I'm done with it will be this one in the anthology and then four others later on to the tune of about 150,000 words, which is a good size William Heinzen novel.
Oh, yeah. Nice, man. Well, I'm going to take this moment here to bring one more into our round table. And
yay.
This is an award-winning and best-selling author who we all know and love and have talked about already on the show so far. And you're going to get to hear from her yourself, the one, the only, Abigail Keem. Abigail, your mic is on. I hope you're there.
I am here.
Good evening.
Can you...
There she is.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, what did you say about me? I'm just curious.
All the right things.
Yes.
Yeah,
all good.
All
of it.
A wonderful roast that you would have been just tickled
totally
by.
Your idea. You're the leader. You're the ringleader. This is totally your idea.
Yeah.
You've written all the stories. You've just given them to us to put our names on. And
yeah.
What else?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that stuff. All
that
the truth.
That sums it up.
Well, I tell you, I'm very excited about this project. I'm working with a great group of people, very creative. And, you know, I started my writing career by writing fantasy. I have five fantasy novels, and I wrote those in the 90s, and I'm glad to be picking up where I left off.
Yep. I did mention that because a lot of your readers know you from your Josiah Reynolds mystery series, and, of course, that's a best-selling series and massively successful series. And so this is going to be interesting for a lot of your readers to discover this side of you, and I think it's going to be fun for fantasy readers that might read your bio and see what you have had out there and then discover that you are also a fantasy writer. I think that's a cool twist to your participation is that, showing that dimension to you. But, yeah, you, as I know, because I've known you for a while, you have roots in fantasy. And
I enjoy reading fantasy. I enjoy writing fantasy. I enjoy watching fantasy. So I'm really excited about this project, and I hope a lot of people buy the anthology. I think they'll really enjoy it.
Now, I have to ask the question, though. Are you going to bring some elements of mystery into your story, or is your story going to be a completely different type of story? Can you give us a little hint as to your story? You don't have to answer this, but could you give us a little hint?
It's going to be strictly adventure, action, and adventure from a women's point of view, and it's going to be set on a different planet, a different world, and that's the kind of fantasy that I like. I like to bring different creatures in and different time spans, and no, there will be no mystery. It will be straight action and adventure.
Nice. Will it tie to your previous tales in some way as far as the world, or is this new?
It's going to be the same character, and I'm just finishing up. I've always wanted to write another book. I've written 5 with this character, and I always wanted to finish it up. And maybe I will in this novella, and maybe I won't. I don't know. I really enjoy writing about this character because she's really ruthless and... I don't know. Is she evil? She may be. I don't know.
Nice. Well, you've been turned loose with Kyle and Holly now, as far as your editors. So this is going to be fun to watch. Kyle, are you ready?
I was listening to Gene talk about that he plots his outlines, and oh, my gosh, that is a lot of work, and I really admire somebody that has that discipline. I just go wherever the character takes me. I sit down and start writing wherever it goes, wherever she goes, whatever she does, she does. I just don't have that kind of discipline I just don't have the discipline to do that.
Kyle makes fun of me all the time. I'll put 10,000 words in the outline before I ever get to page 1. He's like, would you just write the book already?
His outlines are so detailed. All he has to do is go in and put V and in certain places, and the book's done.
I just that would drive me insane. It's like being on a sailboat, but the boat is still tied to the dock. I mean, I wanted to sail. I wanted to go, but a lot of people really love those outlines, and they do very well by them. But
well, Kyle, you have all bases covered because evidently you have a pure pantser, you've got a pure plotter, and with me, I consider myself right in the middle of that because I give myself enough framework, but I also leave room for inspiration during the writing, or stuff to just emerge. So I'm kind of like a hybrid.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like in the middle of plotter pantser. So.
You and I are going to be on the same level. I will plot out the stuff. But once the characters take over, they decide they want to go down the left fork instead of the right, like I thought they would. I let them go, but somehow they always come back, and I'm back on track. So I will plot out the general outline, but as I'm writing, if the characters want to go, I let them go and see where they take me.
So we've got all styles. Sandy?
The outline it's like a map. The outline, it's a general map that, you know, maybe you'll come back to it and maybe you won't.
Nice. Well, we got it all covered. That's nice. We got plotter to pantser and everything in between. Nice, Abigail. but it works for you. I mean, obviously, you are always have new material coming out. And has the writing gone smoothly for this particular one? Has it been fun to get back into some core fantasy?
Well, I'm working on 3 books at the same time. I'm working on 2 mystery books and plus this book. And it's very hard for me to go. I have to take a break from one character to the next and get in that character skin before I finish, before I start writing on that character because they're all so different. They have such different personalities. And it can be rough at times, but I'm plodding along.
Yep, and you love the. I know already know that you love the box set format. You love this format, and so I know that's got to be kind of another thing that drew you to this project with the collaboration and everything.
Well, I've done very well with my box sets. So I think that's I think every author should have their work in box sets. It's just a great way to sell your work that way. And I'm, you know, I'm a great believer in publicity and getting that work out there and for the readers to appreciate. So I'm hoping this box set will do very well. I'm sure that it will. And I'm totally excited about the project. I'm ready to go.
So what kind of market are we looking at, everybody? As far as right now, where do you think this project fits in 2023's book market? Any early predictions or any thoughts on how it will fit in today's climate?
Well, it's going to be a tough market because there are so many competitors now. I mean, everybody is writing a book because everybody thinks they're Jane Austen, which is great because we need all this new and coming talent. But it makes getting your work out there noticed by the readers very, very hard to do. And also, we are competing with all these free books. You know how I hate all these free books.
Bad word. I know for
it's
you.
Free. I don't care for that. And what it is doing is flooding the market. So we're going to have to be on our toes to get our work out there. And it's only 99 cents. My gosh, you can't even buy a cup of coffee for 99 cents. So you can buy these wonderful stories by these talented authors for 99 cents. So I think we have a very good shot of penetrating the market.
Very nice, very nice. And what are you, Gene, you have any thoughts on that from the publishing side on the market right now for this type of thing?
Well, I'm with Abigail. You know, the everybody talks about their lost leader, speaking from a publishing standpoint, their lost leader. I don't believe in that concept. I think if the writers are there and the quality is there, I think people will stand up and go, you know, this is worth a dollar because it all comes down to the quality of the product. Like, we all want a little something extra, and most of us are willing to pay a dollar more for it. You know, you get on the boat sooner, you get a better hotel room, you know, move to a better seat on the plane, whatever it is. And I think this is one of those products that goes against the free books. Now, I'm not opposed to free books. I don't like them, but I'm not opposed to them because that's a market unto itself. I think with this, with the quality of the authors that are taking part, with the quality of the editing that we have, with the two publishing companies and, you know, having Abigail lead the way for us, no pun intended. We love you, Abigail. I said earlier, I don't know if you heard or not, but I really enjoy having meetings with you. I really do. I think this is a great learning experience for me. I think with the quality of the stories that are putting in here, we're going to have our challenges, but I think the market's going to welcome this, not only from its expansive size, but also from its affordable price. And it's a way for us to reach readers that we normally wouldn't. And I think they're going to see that and appreciate that.
Yeah. I agree. And we live in an age where an egg is a dollar now. So, I mean, the 99 cents is not going to be certainly cost prohibitive to people trying it out and sampling. And especially if they, you know, if they are somebody that recognizes one of the people involved, like one of Abigail's readers or Stephen Shrewsbury's readers, you know, he's got quite a few. If they, you know, see that they're involved, they're going to be curious about, I think, the other authors that are in this as well. I think, it's kind of a magnet. Yeah, it draws some people in from all the different authors. And I like that. And yes, and Abigail, yeah, I know you're excited because I'm finally in a box set. Abigail's been on me forever to get in a box
for
set.
For years,
so,
I'm so telling you, you make
know,
money with
know.
Box sets. Get your work in a box set.
So I'm finally
he
in one, so yeah, we can celebrate.
Audience, yeah. He never listens to me. Never, never.
I do.
And he never, 4 years later
that's
after
not
I tell
true.
You to do
sometimes it's like wine or bourbon. It has to percolate for just a little bit, you know, the idea. And then when it comes out, it's, you know, going to be just fine. You know, it's going to be well received. So well, I'll look at it that way, like an aged bourbon. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, and it has drawn together authors from a lot of different sectors. I mean, as we went down the list, we've had some that we've worked with on our press and some that have worked with, you know, Kyle and Gene, and then some such as yourself that are, you know, never worked with any of us yet before in a project. So it's a neat kind of amalgamation of different authors coming into it. So, but I think the collective result's going to be awesome. So, but what do you have any, what other comments do you have, Abigail, as far as this goes?
Say that again, please.
Oh, that's going to say, what other thoughts do you have on the overall project?
Well, you know, fantasy is often a neglected area of writing in terms of, it seems to do extremely well on television and movies, but when it comes to the print, you have a certain category, and those fantasy readers are extremely loyal. But it's very hard to get people that are in romance or mystery readers to jump over into fantasy. And I think fantasy and sci-fi has some of the most talented writers that we ever have. I mean, my God, look at the talent that fantasy writers have. And I would love to see some of my mystery readers jump into the fantasy thing, because I think they would really enjoy these stories. I really do.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear about that too. I want to find or hear that the stories as you begin to hear from some of your mystery readers as they try this out, and I want to hear what kind of feedback they have when they cross over. I know romance is hard to get that group to cross over because they tend to be very stay in that genre only. But I think the mystery readers for sure, yeah, will definitely give a shot.
But we'll do our darndest. I'll do my darndest. Get all those mystery readers to jump.
Yeah.
See if they will. See if they'll take a chance and trust me.
And Sandy, you're a multi-genre author. What do you think about this project pulling in folks from other genres of reading? And its potential for that.
I think that with some of the, you know, like we've got a steampunk fantasy story going in here. We've got, you know, the action adventure stories going in here. I think we could attract some people who typically would read steampunk, people who typically would read thrillers, people who, and, you know, some of these mystery readers. I think we can attract some of them and bring them in. I mean, like Jean was saying, it's a dollar, you know, to take a chance on reading some very creative authors who know what they're doing, who know how to tell a good story, who know how to hook you and bring you in and get you excited about a character and what that character's going through. I think we can attract readers from just about any genre into this one, because this one's going to have subgenres woven throughout it. I mean, this box set is not all dragon stories. Not every single one of these is going to be a dragon story. These are going to have nuances going throughout them that's going to attract and appeal to all kinds of readers. I think if we can press that message, we're going to attract a lot of readers who are going to enjoy this, and they're going to tell their friends, "Oh my God, I read this fantasy story. I loved it," and it's going to get around. Word's going to get around.
Gene, you're saying?
I was simply agreeing with everything. Yeah, exactly. This is not just a Knights in Shining Armor dragon book. This is going to be something for everybody.
And to be honest, I mean, that's one reason I chose to my story to be set, you know, kind of like with an Aztec inspiration from, you know, my particular fantasy world, but kind of bringing that kind of backdrop and flavor into it, because I do think it's going to be fun to bring some different flavors into this that may not be you know, seen a lot in fantasy, or definitely have not been overdone. Something that's, you know, definitely a little different. But yeah, I think it will have that for sure, as Sandy and Eugene were pointing out. I think it'll have different flavors and have a smorgasbord, I love using that word, of different things. But that should at least keep Kyle interested as he edits. Get a variety. Variety pack.
Oh, I have no doubt I'm about to be very well entertained.
Yes, I think so for sure. So we're coming up on just under 10 minutes left to the show, and we do have multiple guests on tonight. So I do want to give each of you a chance because obviously, you know, Gene and Kyle have a press, and then also individually they are, you know, great authors. And then, of course, Sandy and Abigail. So I do want to give each of you a little chance over the last few minutes to tell people, you know, so that they can go out and try your work out right now before this box set comes out, and just give a little exposure. And Gene and Kyle, you guys can talk about anything with the press, of course, but also you individually, you know, if you guys want to highlight something. And but I'll give each of you the floor to talk a little bit about what you have available now or coming up shortly, and you know, give people you know, that info so they could try you out early. But let's start with Abigail. Do you want to tackle that first, and then we'll go Sandy and then Gene and Kyle.
Sure. I'm mainly a mystery writer. I'm working on my 40th mystery. I write two mystery series, the Josiah Reynolds mystery series, which is about a middle-aged beekeeper who lives in the bluegrass, and she stumbles over bodies over the time. And that's my flagship series. Then I have another one. It's 1930s. It's the Mona Moon Mysteries. It's a rag-to-riches mystery. And I weave real people and events into the storylines. And one of my favorite, it was only supposed to be three books. It was supposed to be a trilogy. But it sold so well, I'm now working on the 11th one. And one of my favorite things I did the research in it is really just very, very detailed. And one is that Mona Moon has lunch with Eleanor Roosevelt. And I even tracked down an actual menu from a luncheon at the White House that she gave, and it was disgusting. There was an adage that said, eat before you go to the White House, and that's because Eleanor Roosevelt was not a foodie, and she was trying to set an example to the country of having meals that were 5 or 10 cents per person per meal. Now, even in a depression, you can't make a nice meal for 10 cents. But the luncheon that I tracked down was cold consomme soup, bread and butter sandwiches, and iced tea.
Oh, wow.
So you think even at the White House they would have a little more oomph to their meals? But that's an actual meal they should get. So I have a lot of detail like that in the Mona Moon stories, and I love writing. I love doing the research. I love writing about this character and what was going on in the 30s, because like the 60s and what's going on today, it was very politically motivated and a lot of things were going on. The rise of fascism in Europe and what was going on with the labor movement in this country. So I enjoy writing mysteries. I enjoy writing fantasy. I just enjoy writing, and I'm so glad to be with this group of people. I really enjoyed meeting them, and I'm very excited about this project.
Thank you. And website. Definitely give your website where folks can find you and look up your books.
It's abigailkeam.com. That's abigailkeam.com.
Fantastic. All right, Sandy. You got the floor.
All right. All right. Well, I invite people to find me on my website, because that is going to be the portal to everywhere else that you can find me. So go to sandylenderinc.com, sandylenderinc.com, or you can also try authorsandylender.com, because I bought all the domain names. So if you go to sandylenderinc.com and you'll find a link to my author newsletter, you'll find links to all the different books that I have, my Amazon page, all that good stuff. And that's how you get in touch with Sandy, and that's the best way to do it.
Fantastic. And, yeah, I can vouch for you. And yeah, working with you as an editor is a great experience. You're just absolutely fantastic. So the genre blender.
Thank you, sir.
Kyle, all right, now. All right, Kyle, this is, yeah, you got to brag about yourself a bit. it's your turn.
All right. Twist my arm. I just finished my 15th full-length novel. It's a collaboration with one of my other Jumpmaster Press authors. It's a detective story. As Gene mentioned earlier, sci-fi is my bread and butter. It's all, lasers and spaceships and action. That's where I'm most comfortable. So I stretch my legs. I write fantasy. I've done a crime thriller. So this, a detective kind of mystery thing, totally something different for me. I had a blast doing it, especially collaborating with someone, first time for that. I've got part of my catalog, sci-fi, of course, alternate history, time travel, probably some of my best work. It's always a crowd favorite. I've got Space Pirates. I mean, how can you go wrong with Space Pirates? The award-winning dystopian that the Imaginarium liked a couple of years ago. And all of my stuff is available at jumpmasterpress.com.
Very nice. And now, Gene.
Well, I would have to say I may not be the youngest person on this call, but I am the youngest writer. I last year published nothing. The year before that, I published only my fourth novel. I started out like Kyle in science fiction, and I wanted to write a time travel. My degree was in physics, so I wanted to write a time travel novel that didn't break any laws of physics. That took me 7 years to write that very first book, and I wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't have Jumpmaster Press if it wasn't for Kyle continuously saying, "Would you finish the book already?" That led to a sequel to that one. And then I wanted to branch out and I wrote a Christian fiction genetics thriller. Think Da Vinci Code with Christian fiction genre. That one was very well received. And again, not wanting to stay in the same genre, I moved over to fantasy, but I didn't want to write a normal fantasy because I don't do anything normally. I wanted to write a Viking fantasy. So that has been my latest novel, and it's that one is that's my bestseller. And the people hear Viking fantasy, and they're like, "Oh, I want that one." And it sells really, really well. I'm very happy with it. And I have lots of sequels and prequels to write, but I'm a very slow writer. I'm very methodical, and I plot everything. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that the characters don't tell me where to go, and the writing doesn't. Maybe it takes a crazy Ivan off over there, and I'm like, "Ooh, that's fun. Let's go explore that rabbit hole." But it always comes back. But I know where the story arcs are. I know where it's going to end. I know where the good plot points are going to be already because I've got them plotted out. I'm a very meticulous writer. I love doing research, like Abigail said. If you don't love doing research, writing is going to be difficult. I love it. I want to know everything there is to know about the subject I'm talking about. And I probably spend way too much time over-researching something to put it into the book. Genetics was one of them. The time travel and physics was another one. The Viking world was another one. So I spend way too much time delving into that. But I like it. I'm not George R.R. Martin slow, but I'm close. It takes me a while to write a novel because I want to do it right, and I want to do it right the first time. And I really, really love the craft, and I've loved the people we work with. And like Kyle, all of my stuff is available in ebook, audiobook, and paperback on jumpmasterpress.com.
Fantastic. And Holly's usually yelling at me for Amazon packages coming in with obscure history books because I love research and indulge in that.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining me tonight on this episode, all of you, because, Enchanted Realms, Tales of Fantasy and Light and Shadow is going to be a special project. And, yeah, definitely be on the lookout soon before the end of the month. It will be live on several formats for pre-order. So, yes, yeah, if you guys have a final comment, you can make one. But thank you so much for joining us tonight on the show. And just been a great show and great project so far.
Thank you for having
us.
And I'm excited to be a part of this.
All right. Well, you guys take care. Have a great night. And, yes, next week we'll be back with another Star Chamber show on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And thank you for joining us tonight, everyone. And for Gene, Kyle, Sandy, and Abigail, I bid you all a wonderful evening. Good night, everyone.
Good night.